Welcome back to the Building Buffalo podcast. I'm Newell Nussbaumer. I'm here with Allison Dehoney and Marilyn Rogers from Buffalo Go Green. But before we begin, I need to know, how long have you guys known each other for?
So Marilyn and I met, six or seven years.
Yeah, because I know, Marilyn, you've always been a community activist. We've covered you many times on Buffalo Rising before. Allison, so how did you do? Were you looking for another community activist, somebody that you knew could, like, you know, kind of like help get things going? I mean, how did you?
She needed a grant writer.
Oh, is that how it all started? Right. Grant writing?
And so we have a person that we knew mutually. And I was looking for a grant writer, and he said, I'm going to give you a name. And one of the main reasons why I was really interested in speaking with Marilyn is because she, you know, told me that she did some research, sent me writing samples in addition to her CV. So, you know, usually people say, I can do A, B, or C, but you really don't know if they can. But she sent me a series of writing samples and said, you know, I'd like to meet, I'd like to help you. So we went through all the formalities. We started writing. We finished, I think, one or two grant submissions. And then Marilyn said, well, I think I'd like to be more involved. And I said, well, I don't have any money. And she said, well, that's okay. And then she said, you know, a nominal fee will do for now because I believe in this mission and I believe in this work. And then we'll see what happens.
And 7 years later.
7 years later.
This is incredible. Yeah. But it wasn't always supposed to be 7 years later. It was supposed to be a lot sooner than that. But we're going to get to some of that in a minute. Can you tell me a little bit about, like, the history, the backstory of Buffalo Go Green?
Yeah, so I, which most people know, have a corporate background, and I wanted to do something more meaningful. It wasn't about, like, finances or anything like that. It was strictly about having more meaning in my profession. And I was speaking with former Councilman Damone Smith, and we started talking about lack of access to fresh fruits and vegetables, and people don't have any place to shop on the east side. And he said, you should try to do something about it. And I'm like, well, I can't do anything about it. So I started to do some research. And really where my research took me were to the health disparities in Western New York in general. And I think people have that misconception that these health disparities are only on the east side of Buffalo, and it's not true. We are one of, or the sickest community in New York State. We're one of the region, I should say, not the community, the region. And that, coincidentally, that article came out from researchers, Robert Woods Johnson being one of them, a week before the mass shooting at Tops, 2022. And so I had seen all of that research and thought I could probably, like, maybe sell some fruits and vegetables on the weekends, maybe get a truck and drive around. And
and now you're a farmer.
That was the plan.
And now you're a farmer.
That was the plan.
Foresight.
And so I'll stop there and I'll let you, that's the backstory.
Okay. But so you now, leading up until the point where we are right now, tell me, like, what the components of Go Green are.
Okay. So we are growers at our core. That is the foundation of who we are. We're an urban agriculture organization. Mm-hmm. But we're an urban agriculture organization that is concerned about health disparities, nutrition and wellness, education in underserved communities. So we are concerned with from the seed all the way to what's on your plate, all the way to what happens in the doctor's office.
Mm-hmm. So there's a big educational component to this?
Yes.
Okay. Now, we just talked about the 7-year span. This is a project that you've been working on for a long time and put a ton of effort into it, the two of you. There were some hiccups along the way.
Absolutely.
There were some hiccups along the way. I don't know if you even want to talk about that, or because I you always want to talk about the positive aspects. But I think in order to like talk about the positive aspects, you have to also talk about like really the road that's taken you like this far. Like, I mean, there were times where I'm sure that you thought, why am I doing this? Will this ever get done? Do you want to tell us a little bit about some of that stuff without going too haywire?
Absolutely. And you know what? I don't really have to worry about going too haywire, because there have been more positives than negatives. But certainly, any endeavor that's meaningful, and especially when you have no money, there are going to be hiccups. So in the early years, you know, in the spring and summertime, things would be going on. And then in the winter, I was like, I can't do this. Like, I'm never going to make any money. This is so much work, and this is seasonal, and I couldn't see how I was going to take it from seasonal to year-round production and work and income and revenue and projects. I didn't have that clear vision yet. So there's an article, it's from years back, in Psychology Today, and on the cover is a picture of an entrepreneur on a mattress with no sheets, and he's curled up in a fetal position, and it says entrepreneur on top. And it's true. There are so many moments like that. There are, and in the wintertime.
Keep going.
In the wintertime, I used to actually sometimes put out job applications, because I was like, this isn't, you know, you tried, you know, it's not going to work. It's okay. You tried and it didn't work. So.
But at the same time, you also had that cause in your heart.
Yeah. And something would always, I never got a call on any of those job applications. Not one. And something would always happen that would, you know, give me the signal that, no, you're not supposed to quit. And I can't remember and can't like name specifically what it was, but it was always something that got me from the season through the winter into the next season.
Yeah. And as far as like Go Green goes at the current time, you have plots of land.
Yes.
And you've had plots of land. You've been accumulating some plots of land.
Yes.
On the east side of Buffalo.
Yes.
How's that journey gone?
So it's been difficult. I would never say that it's easy. A lot of people do contact me because they think I have like some secret formula on how to do that. And I really don't. I think it was preparation, luck, timing, the right person, and then the wrong people. We have had to pivot and make other decisions because it's been so difficult to acquire land. And that's typical in farming. Like, there's no more land. You can talk to any person who's interested in getting into farming or growing on a small scale, on a large scale. Acquiring land is a huge barrier to entering into agriculture.
And some of these plots that you've purchased over the years, did you keep all of those? Or is that what you retain today? Or did you sell some
No, we've never sold anything, and we don't intend on selling anything.
Okay, so they're all contiguous.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. And where are they located?
So Zenner and East Ferry, Manhattan. Well, we'll talk about that because that's not actually growing. And then Glenwood and DuPont.
Okay. And this is going to be the future site. Will this be a campus?
So Manhattan is going to be the campus site.
That will be the campus.
And that, because there's no green space at that location, we will have indoor growing.
And this is the big project that we're talking about.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So
it's 243 Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
There are three buildings on the site. One building will be our training kitchen. The second will be our hydroponic indoor farm and processing, and the third will be our community building.
Wow.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
No, we are overjoyed and we are so grateful. We're just overjoyed about this opportunity, this being able to realize our vision. Yeah. And, you know, Marilyn and I, while we do spend the majority of our day working, we do spend a lot of time just on that friendship and sisterhood piece where mm-hmm. we are just grounded in gratitude.
Grounded in gratitude. I love that.
For everything mm-hmm. that we have been able to do, her sitting at her beautiful home doing her work, and me at my home doing my work, and us putting it together and getting a team together and figuring out how to support that team and grow the team and figuring out how to create a culture of, you know, not only a place where you work, but a culture, a place where people want to work. Mm-hmm. Like, and I feel like we're not great. We have a lot of work to do, but I think we're off to a good start.
The programming itself it's mind-blowing, okay? I mean, we're working across the board from clinics to education institutions to, I mean, you should really talk about the programming. Some of the stuff that we're doing. I mean, and then, we're talking with a cancer group right now. Yes. We've expanded the veterans programming and teaching and such. It's wild. Yeah. There aren't enough hours in the day, but when you work for someone, Noel, you know me. I'm 71 years old. Okay?
Yeah, yes, I do know
and
you.
You know, I've done a lot of different things in the past.
Right.
She's the best boss I've ever had.
That's great.
And that's the only thing that's keeping me going. Yeah.
and to her point, wherever we go, someone always knows her from somewhere,
mm-hmm.
or somehow there's some connection to her past work, which, you know, we're so fortunate to have someone with a body of work, especially in the same community. She knows the city, she knows the history, and it may not seem like that's important, but it really is important when you're building relationships and trying to get things done.
And she's a fighter.
Yes.
Yes.
You know what's really cool about the history? I did some research. All three of our farm sites are on the original 1901 map of the Holland Land Survey. It's historic farm acreage.
Oh, no kidding.
All three of our sites.
Wow.
Yeah.
Were these sites, before you got a hold of them, were they compromised?
No. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. What do you mean compromised?
You mean like buildings that were torn down?
Well, buildings that were torn down or lead abatement, you know, all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I would imagine there's probably not. Yeah. So
that's why we don't grow in the ground.
Right.
Right. Yeah, this is all. Right. Yeah. So you're not doing any. So you raise beds where your farm sites are.
Yeah. The greenhouses.
And then obviously the hydroponics and all that stuff coming will all be in the greenhouses.
Yep.
Okay, gotcha.
We even put raised beds in our greenhouses.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we've got a total of 6 greenhouses.
Yes.
That are currently operational.
30 external outdoor
raised beds.
And then, it's the old Buffalo Concrete, actually.
Oh, is that right?
That big old pole barn in there, that's 4,500 square feet of growing space, can produce an additional 3 to 4 tons annually of fresh produce, and that's 12 months out of the year, which is more affordable because you're cutting out the transportation fees, and it's more nutritious because everything that's delivered from Buffalo Go Green is always harvested that morning.
That's right.
So you're not losing. Was it how many, like, if it's been on the truck or on ice for 2 or 3 days, you're down to about 70%, even 60% of the nutritional value.
Yeah.
So you're really just filling your stomach.
Right.
You know?
Right. So you Allison, you mentioned team. I thought it was just you two.
No.
I can't get on my knees and
We really have a great team. So we have, so Marilyn's director of operations, and then we have our director of farming operations, Ricky Fleming, and Billy Stanton, who manages the farm with Ricky. And then we have Marla Garino, who's director of programming. And then we have, we just brought on Tyler Petrick, who is going to manage the teaching kitchen. And then we have two open positions, one for our mobile markets coordinator to do our markets in the summertime, and for another farm assistant.
Yeah, so we never really talked about that, but you have mobile markets.
Yes.
How many?
So we have two trucks that we use for our farmers markets and for mobile markets. One of ours is brand new. Thank you very much, Highmark. They purchased this truck for us. We were able to custom design it, and it is actually designed with refrigeration, a sink, a place to do cooking demonstrations, and then our produce display that comes down and hangs like off of the truck.
Yeah, the side lifts up like an awning over the produce.
Oh, nice.
It's like going to Gersh shows, but on wheels.
Yeah. I've actually seen it. I've seen it around town. So without encompassing this new project, which is gonna be just fabulous. Is Go Green right now, is it self-sustaining?
So it's so interesting you ask that, Noel, because like I said, I have a corporate background.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm, you know, had to take that hat off and learn not-for-profit. So not-for-profits like to pretend that they're not businesses, but they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, in the for-profit world, you do your 3-year projections, your 5-year projections, but in not-for-profit, you can project all you want to. If the funding doesn't come in, you have nothing. So when you ask me that question, I can say yes today, tomorrow, for the rest of 2024, but we have to constantly keep applying for funding. We're in the process of doing a capital campaign. Are we in a good financial position? Absolutely. But we still need to keep bringing in funding to maintain, because we're not selling widgets, right? So we are working on things that we can sell outside of our produce, which is, you know, is good, but we don't have the acreage to sustain ourselves as far as produce goes. We have to have programming in conjunction with that.
Yeah.
Yep.
So what you're growing, are you selling this? Are there, I mean, I know there are different programs. Mm-hmm. Like how do people, how do you make that all work?
So, majority of what we grow goes to our programming. The rest goes to our mobile and farmers markets, which it's sold. We sell at a reduced price because sometimes we have funding to subsidize. And sometimes we have, it's part of like our produce prescription program. So folks get everything at a discounted rate.
Okay. And there are also some you accept like EBT cards?
Absolutely.
EBT cards.
We accept all that Double Up food box.
Double Up food box, yep.
There's a, you know, there's a market that we partner with other folks along with KeyBank over at Delvin Greider Community Center.
Mm-hmm.
And they get special vouchers that KeyBank subsidizes.
Mm-hmm.
For every person that comes in, they get two $5 vouchers.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's really great.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully once the campus gets going, once the hydroponics get going, we'll be able to do more retail sales, wholesale retail sales.
Yeah.
And that will help us sustain better.
Will this be at all like also a community center?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we will have space. So if block clubs want to have their meetings there, not like a community center, like a Delvin Greider,
mm-hmm.
but more like if someone wants to have a nutrition education class, or if someone wants to have an event where people get together and they cook together, we would have lots of space and we'll have different stations. So really, we can get as creative as we want to get, but this space is for the community. At our farm, we'll have an observation center. So students, whoever wants to come and see, how are hydroponics grown? You will be able to see the operation without interfering with the actual growing.
Nice.
Yeah.
And also there's a holistic practices studio.
Yeah.
That's on site as well. And that'll be for yoga, meditation, tai chi.
Wow, oh, that's
drumming,
great.
You know,
right,
anything,
yeah.
Anything that will feed the mind and spirit to go along with the stomach, you know, so we'll hit all three.
Yeah, so I would imagine, is it going to be a cafe component at all?
So we're going to do, like, we're not going to have where people can sit mm-hmm. and, like,
hang out.
Yeah. But what we will have is like a grab and go. So you can come in to the juice bar and get smoothies. We'll have you know, like prepared salads or things. And what we would like to do is have, entrepreneurs from around the area, like say someone has like, you know, like, oh, we make,
couple with the applesauce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you want to jar it and sell it. We want to be able to be a place where we can have pop-ups where people come, and then if it becomes a staple that we sell, so be it. But if there's an entrepreneur who says, I made a hot sauce and I kind of want to see how sales would go, we can do a pop-up for you and see how your sales go. Test it out. A place where, because there's a beautiful program called IC Success through Buffalo Niagara Medical Campus. And a large percentage of the entrepreneurs there are food businesses. And so maybe they're doing it out of their home. Maybe they don't have a space. So we would invite those folks to, if you need to come in at like 8 o'clock after your day job and just spend a couple hours trying to perfect your recipe, like this would be a space to do that.
So not necessarily a commissary kitchen.
No, like all types of education mm-hmm. and programming. Yeah.
And even programming and education for, you know, youth that they can get a taste of what urban farming is all about. Because mm-hmm. eventually, you know, like I'm practically too old anyway. But eventually, you know, somebody has to be able to take the reins.
Right. Yeah. And quite literally
no more
a taste.
Bowling alone. Yeah.
And quite literally a taste of urban farming.
Right.
Exactly.
You get to eat what
right.
you're growing.
But
in.
We have a program that we're going to be introducing called Pathways, where we can introduce like the second year that it's a 2-year program, 11th and 12th graders. In January, when the kids go into 12th grade, we hook them up with advisors from historically Black colleges and universities to talk about higher degree, you know, higher education and degree programming in regards to, I mean, you hit the way that agriculture changes now as far as degrees, even drones.
I mean, we don't have a historically Black college or university in New York State, but our closest one is Central State in Dayton, Ohio. So we have formed a partnership with them because we need to funnel people into agriculture. And everybody's not going to want to be a grower, and that's okay. But there's ag finance, there's soil science, there's integrated pest management. Drones are being used in agriculture at a fast pace. So, but youth need to be exposed to that.
Yeah. Have you, like, researched, I mean, I'm sure you have, national and international models for these types of things? Or just kind of, like, how are you like learning so much about this all the time? I mean, and I'm kind of referring to programs like Greening of Detroit, mm-hmm. Which I am.
Tell them about Poland.
So okay, we'll start at Detroit, then we'll go to Poland. So, Detroit has been such a trailblazer in mm-hmm. urban agriculture, and Buffalo Go Green was fortunate enough to get a Rite Aid grant, and they also granted some programs and farms in Detroit. So we network, and they have done an amazing job. And there's just so we learn that way. Like, you know, we learn from Black Farmer Fund, which is an organization that started because they realized that Black people weren't getting access to capital to start farming or food system businesses. So I was part of the pilot community where we built the structure to figure out how can we vet farms and food systems, organizations, entities, without saying what's your credit score and how much money do you have in the bank and how are you going to pay us back? Like, what's your social capital? Like, who's your network? Like, how are you growing? Those are all the things that we felt were important to determine, in addition to, you know, hey, how you might be able to pay us back. But you can set your terms.
Yeah, I like that a lot. So do you feel that you are doing some unprecedented things that you just haven't seen anywhere else?
Poland.
Okay. So there's this wonderful, wonderful event that happens every year called Grow New York. And they kind of round robin where it is, Ithaca, Binghamton, Rochester. And I went a couple years ago and met this company from Poland. And they sell this reactor. But before you get to the reactor, you can take things like whatever matter you want to give them, and they can try to make an organic fertilizer for you. So we actually went to Poland in 2023, and we sent them what we want our fertilizer to be part of, which is coffee grounds from, we have so many great coffee shops, mm-hmm. and they are just like, yeah, you want our coffee grounds? Please take them. And then also the spent matter from our breweries, which is becoming an issue because they have so much spent matter.
Breweries, yeah.
So, and we sent that to this company, and they are working on an organic fertilizer, not only for our soil growth, but for our hydroponic growth as well, which is huge because there are solutions, and we're kind of like, in all these solutions, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Yep.
So we will be able to have control, especially on the hydroponic side, of what solutions go into growing those crops.
Fantastic.
So that I think might be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's great.
She's a traveling maniac. She's so involved in everything, even the Northeast Regional Food Business centers, you know, we're part of that now.
Putting Buffalo on the map, huh?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I believe the amount of work, and I mean, it's like you don't hear much from us, but yeah. You know, we were just given two awards, one from the Bills Foundation.
Yeah.
Community Partner of the Year.
Well, no way, really? Yeah. Wow.
That was with Bank of America. The Bills was the...
No, the champion is Bank of America. Okay. Bills is the Community Partner. Okay.
There you go. Yeah. You start. That's great when you can't keep them all and get track of them all, right? That's a pretty good problem to have.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and super grateful for all the support. You know what? Because there's so many causes. There's so many things going on. Nobody has to give us anything.
Mm-hmm.
They really don't, you know? And so, you know, it's always humbling to me. And like Marilyn sometimes will, you know, she'll say, you know what? We need to get our name out there more, but we're so busy. Like, we're so busy that sitting down and, you know, thinking about, oh, how are we gonna, you know, and usually what we do is just show pictures of our work.
That's right.
And to me, that speaks volumes. Because I can tell you I do anything. I can tell you anything all day long. But we just have so many. Like, sometimes someone will want a picture and Marilyn will be like, oh, I'm on it. And then just get like a treasure trove of pictures.
Yeah.
That's part of operations.
It is part of operations. Yes, it is.
We wear many hats.
Yes.
We do.
So this is a pivotal moment for the East Side, but it's also a pivotal moment for Buffalo. What an exciting time that we're in right now that we can not only dream about a project like this, but we can expect a project like this to come to fruition. Where are we right now as far as timeline goes?
So we have been working. So we're working with our architect. We're hoping that we're going to be going to permitting and to the city for, you know, check off on all the things we need to check off with the city. We've already started demolition. It's pretty much done in the building that's going to be our training kitchen. And we hope to start like within the next couple weeks. We have an amazing designer, Sherry Morse. We've picked out appliances, and we had to do these things so that the architect could have measurements.
Mm-hmm.
We've picked out the appliances. We've picked out cabinetry. We've picked out flooring. We're just waiting for that. We've met with the engineer regarding the electrical service and all those things that sometimes I'm like, can we just get to where we pick out the cutlery?
That's right.
We've got a little ways to go on that one, but all of the things that need to be done, we are checking all the boxes, and we hope for like a, I don't know, fall. Late summer, yeah, early fall.
Yeah.
Where are we finance-wise?
So the Buffalo Bills Foundation has completely financed the teaching kitchen for us.
Yeah.
It's in line with their mission of fighting hunger.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, luckily for us, the Bills, the NFL, and specifically the Bills have realized that, you know what, some of our players may have been food insecure at some point.
Is that the Ralph Wilson Foundation?
No, it's not. It's just part of, so it's my understanding that the NFL, like each team kind of, they get together once a year and they kind of decide on what their focus is going to be.
Great.
And over the last couple of years, it has been food insecurity and trying to eradicate or mitigate hunger.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have been a tremendous support of ours. And just, you know, we can pick up the phone, Marilyn or myself, and say, hey, this is an issue. This is what's happening. This is what we need. And they came out like so strong after the top shooting with just asking like, what do we need?
Yeah.
Like, how can we help you get food to people? And I can't say enough about them. They are just a beautiful group of folks to work with and so understanding, and their hearts are so big. And
yeah. Sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the teaching kitchen has four separate stations plus the chef stage. And there'll be audio visual equipment in there too, so we can do live broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any type of streaming platform. We can do recordings. We can invite people to come in. You know, remember Buffalo Nickel City Chef?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's sort of like that.
Right.
But the thing of it is, it's great if your physician tells you, well, you need more broccoli, or you need more Swiss chard, or you need you know, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
And you go and you get it, and you're like,
exactly.
Right. So we have the teaching kitchen, so people learn how to make these delicious dishes out of these items that, you know, it's so much easier to go to McDonald's.
That's right.
You know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, health disparities eventually will start climbing down, and so will insurance costs.
Yeah.
So.
And
it benefits the community as a whole. Even if you don't believe in what we're doing, it's going to benefit you.
Right.
And we're so divorced as a society from our kitchens.
Yeah.
It's just so much easier to go someplace and pick something.
Our kitchens
up.
And our farms.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. Talk about disconnect.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, we're going to be starting CSAs this year, too.
Yes.
Oh, there you go. CSAs.
Yes.
Oh, that's a good one.
And for those folks who don't know what that means community shared agriculture, where you sign up to receive a share, i.e. a box, of whatever is in season. So you will be eating in season, hence locally. And we're excited to, you know, bring that out. And we have like about a half a dozen seniors that like we're not going to charge for their shares. And then a person can buy a share for someone who can't afford one.
Sort of like a pay it forward.
Yeah, pay it forward, right. Yeah, I like that. That's great. Is there anything that we haven't talked about or touched upon?
Oh, a whole bunch of stuff.
Okay.
But all right. Your phone doesn't have the battery, and I'm sure people are like, okay, this is long enough.
So I guess there'll be a part two.
That'd be great.
We'd love to
have you come down and check the place out.
I would love to do that. Yeah. I will definitely do that. And you're going to supply me with some photos so we can show our listenership a little bit about what's going on over there, right?
And if anybody wants to check the place out before the reconstruction, you can come down on April 8th during the eclipse between 2:30 and 4:30 because we're going to be having a sort of like a community introduction.
Perfect.
We'll show the presentations, the plans, that sort of thing. We'll have some music going on. We eclipse glasses, ISO.
Oh.
It's the ISO.
ISO, right. Yep.
Certified.
Yeah.
Some produce boxes.
Free
stuff
produce
like that.
Boxes to the first 50 people who arrive.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
And then there's a couple of other things that we'll pull, pull out of our back pockets.
Yeah, I know you well.
Maybe we'll do a line dance or something.
Yeah, I thought you'd be DJing, no?
Actually, I'm trying to get a hold of, and if anybody wants to do it, if you're a drummer, djembe, whatever, I'm trying to get djembe artists and dancers. But if all falls to, I already started working on a set with a DJ that I know in London. Her name is Sabs. And she's very much into Afrobeats, and the two of us are cooking up something.
Oh, perfect.
To fall back on.
Yeah. So. Well, Allison, Marilyn, it has been an absolute pleasure having you here today. And once again, we will do this again.
Thank you so much.
That's so great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.